Sometimes God wants us to do something, and sometimes God wants us to do absolutely nothing. Do you hear me this morning?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this evening's message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant focused on God's prescription for spiritual revival found in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, and how the path to revival begins with humbling one's spirit before God. Pride must fall. Pride will hinder our prayers. And Pastor Grant challenged us to be people of prayer. In this evening's concluding part of this message, Pastor Grant shares with us some benefits of prayer and fasting. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, Prescription for Revival, Part 2. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
You know, the book of Jonah ends very sadly. It ends very, very sadly. Look with me at verse 8 and 9. Jonah chapter 4. It happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Boy, he's focused on dying. "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" God had made a plant come up to give him some shade, and now God had made the plant wither. He says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And Jonah said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to what? Death." Just picture this situation and tell me if this is not crazy. Jonah's enemies were having a party. They were enjoying revival. God had spared their lives. Can you imagine the excitement in Nineveh? And the preacher, remember who was the preacher? Jonah was the preacher. This is the craziest preacher I ever heard. All of us preachers, can you imagine how excited we would be? We go to preach to a crowd of 50,000 people and everybody got saved. Oh man, we would have been jumping. And everybody he preached is excited. The only one he's disgusted is the preacher. And if you picture the situation, he is in the desert. He's about to have a sunstroke, and the only thing he wants is to die. And God pleaded with him to give up his bitterness. But did you notice what he proudly said? Jonah said, "I'm going to stay angry until I die." Is that your intention? Come on now. You've been hanging on to it for 5 years, whatever number of years. How much longer are you going to hold on to your anger and your bitterness? Jonah said, "I'm going to hang on to it till I die." May God have mercy on us this morning. May he give us a spirit to break free of this Jonah spirit. Might he give us a desire to break away from bitterness. Amen. May he give us a desire to humble ourselves before him this day and ask him to help us to get rid of the bitterness and have a desire to forgive whoever it is that has hurt you. Because until you do that, you will never experience God's revival. You will never experience the mighty movement of God in your life. And what a shame. You're here sitting bitter, and the person you're bitter against, in many instances, like the people of Nineveh, they're having a party. They're having a good time, and you're in your pity party. May God help you to realize you are crazy. I know I'm preaching not to say that. You crazy. God is giving you every opportunity to let go and allow him to do the work in your life and to take care of whoever sinned against you. But as long as you're determined to do it your way, you're tying the hands of God. May God give us a desire this morning. And I just want to say to every member of this church, you could be praying, you could pray from now till eternity. If you're not going to let go of the bitterness, if you're not going to forgive who has forgiven you, you may as well stop fasting, because all you're doing is losing weight. Are you with me this morning? God is telling us, Listen, precondition number one, humble yourself. But what is precondition number two?
You all gone quiet. Tell me you forgot the verse.
Pray. Precondition, humble ourselves and pray. We must engage in earnest prayer. Chapter 3 of Jonah, verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh. That's the king. By the decree of the king, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily. By the way, even though he didn't want them to drink water, if you're fasting, we would like you to drink water. Amen. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every man turn from his evil way and from the violence in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger? And we know God did. Listen, I said last week, and I'm saying it again, you can put it in your notes. Fasting intensifies prayer. But fasting, write the piece down, fasting also requires self-denial. Amen. As you know, 21st century American Christianity is not known for self-denial. Many of us, as a result, don't even consider prayer and fasting. I can imagine some of our own church, when we suggested this, some folks would say, have the elders gone crazy? Have they gotten charismatic that we're talking about prayer and fasting? So let me share with you this morning three benefits of prayer and fasting. Benefit number one, to obtain God's deliverance. Do you need God's deliverance in your life or in your family's life? Do you need to see God do a miracle? Is there someone in bondage to some type of addiction? There are so many addictions. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addiction, food addiction. There's so many addictions. Do you have somebody? Is it you or a member of your family in some type of addiction? We need to realize that when we need deliverance, we should consider prayer and fasting. The Bible is full of stories where God brought deliverance because of prayer and fasting. Turn to this one, if you would, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 4, just to make sure you have the context here. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against King Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. So there's a whole force coming. It's several countries' military coming against Judah. And remember now, Judah is not as huge as it was because Israel is divided. 10 tribes are divided, 8 tribes in the north, 2 tribes to the south. King Jehoshaphat is only in charge of these 2 tribes to the south called the tribe of Judah. They're called, going by the name Judah. A whole military is coming against him. They are very close because they're in En-Gedi, which is not that far away. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Judah was in trouble. They were overwhelmed. They were no match for the people who were coming. They needed deliverance. And the king says, proclaim the fast. And the people gathered together in prayer and fasting. And let's see what happened. We're going to jump down to verse number 12. And here's what they were praying. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Have you ever been there where you don't really know what to do? Have you ever needed God's deliverance? This is the people. They said, we don't know what to do. God, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattana, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And if I didn't spell them, pronounce them right, you probably would pronounce them. You can pronounce them whatever way you want. Amen. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you." Listen good now. Here it is. "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Amen. Sometimes God wants us to do something, and sometimes God wants us to do absolutely nothing. Do you hear me this morning? Sometimes God wants us to do absolutely nothing but get on our knees and push back from the table and spend time in fasting and prayer and asking God, "God, won't you help us? God, this is beyond us. God, this is too much for us. God, we need you." So jump to verse 20. "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness." Hallelujah. Some things happen sometimes when his people start to praise him. Amen. Verse 21, "When he had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went up before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they held to destroy one another." The people started fighting against each other. All Israel was, Judah was doing was singing and praising God. "When Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped." Hallelujah. And the military of Judah had done absolutely nothing. Humanly speaking, Jehoshaphat faced an impossible situation, but God specializes in things thought impossible. Choir, am I right about that? Amen. God specializes in things thought impossible. Amen. And he can do what no other power on earth can do. And even if you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, I'm here to tell you that my God is able to deliver you. Amen. For Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. This is my God. He's a God who can do the impossible. He can make a way where there is no way. Do you know this God? Speaking to folks on the internet this morning, and for those of you right here, some of you teenagers, some of you young people, do you know this God? Is he your savior? Has he delivered you from your sin? Listen, the number one thing he wants to do, the first deliverance, the first thing he wants to deliver you from is your sin. There's some of you right here this morning, you still have not allowed him to come into your heart and save you. And young person, teenager, it's time to break loose. Your friends don't mean you any good, but this God, my God, he means you good. And I want to tell you, my friend, what a wonderful thing it is to go through life having this God as your friend. And I trust today you will trust him. Psalm 68:20 says that our God is a God of deliverance. Psalm 68:20, our God is a God of deliverance. And no matter what you're dealing with, God has the power to deliver you today. He has the power. You're going through tough times, but I want to tell you, trust God. Three benefits of prayer and fasting. Benefit one, to obtain God's deliverance. But secondly, to obtain God's direction. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Now that in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene. Oh, I wish we had time. When you have somebody who believes that it's only one group is the favored group, you take time to study who is in this text and you'll be blown away to see the racial diversity in the church at Antioch. It will blow your mind. It will blow your mind to see the racial diversity. It will also blow your mind to see the economic diversity, because it goes on to tell you, Manahen, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch. All right, so he's now with the royalty, okay? These are a diverse bunch of folks. And Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. I've heard people say that the early church did not practice prayer and fasting, but that's clearly not accurate, for they certainly did right here in Acts chapter 13. And if you study church history, you'll find that the early church certainly did practice fasting. God was about to commission Paul and Silas to spread the gospel to the Gentiles in distant lands. This was something that had never been done before. And the church at Antioch needed to have discernment. They needed to make sure they knew what God's will is. And the church at Antioch prayed and fasted, and they were able to confirm God's will, that God was going to commission Paul and Silas to go into lands unknown and to places unknown. Make no mistake, any church that has the mind of God is going to be a missionary church that is going to not only evangelize their neighborhood, but is going to be concerned about places beyond. Amen. Have you ever had a big decision to make and wished you could get God's direction? Well, next time at that crossroads. You know, I've learned a lot about prayer and fasting in the last few months. A lot. If I can be honest with you, I've been a Christian for a long, long time. I've had very little teaching or personal study on prayer and fasting. And to be honest, it has been sort of a mind-blowing to me, the more we have studied, to see how much the Bible has to say about prayer and fasting. And perhaps I tell you, at some of the crossroads that we have faced, where we didn't know what to do, perhaps if we had prayed and fasted before God, we could have determined the mind of God. You know, a young man was about to get married, true story, and he started having doubts. Now, wedding jitters are quite common, but this was way beyond wedding jitters. He had a very uneasy feeling that something was very wrong. Something was unusual about the girl he was going to marry. It was in the back of his mind for a while, but now as he's approaching marriage, it's almost like it is really becoming a burden. Something is wrong. So he went to one of the well-known sisters in the church, and he asked for advice. And she said, oh no, it's just wedding jitters. You go ahead and you marry. But do you know, God was actually telling this young man that there was danger. And shortly after they married, they discovered his bride was bisexual. You know, when we need direction, it's good to get advice. But can I suggest, when you're really struggling, we make the sacrifice to go into prayer and fasting? Because prayer and fasting, God will help us in many instances to discern his will. Oh, I know you love to come and ask us what you should do. But you know, God is the best one. He knows exactly what to do. So I'm going to suggest, listen, put that down in your notes. Prayer and fasting, it can help you not only to obtain God's deliverance, but to obtain God's direction. And finally, to obtain a deeper relationship with God. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Interesting scripture here. And I would tell you that probably a year ago, I would have stayed away from this one. Matthew 9, 14. Isn't it good how God brings us on the journey? Then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." As long as Jesus was with them, his disciples didn't need to fast, for that was time to celebrate. But Jesus is no longer with us, so there's reason to fast. I want to make that very big distinction. The Pharisees were coming, "Why aren't your disciples fasting?" The reason for our fasting is different from why the Pharisees were fasting. Because the Pharisees, when they fasted, were mourning. And this is why they would fix up their faces. They wanted everybody to see that they were in mourning. We, when we fast, we are not fasting in mourning. We are fasting in anticipation. Amen. Our bridegroom is gone, but we have no reason to mourn. Amen. For he is what? He's not dead. Am I right about that? He's not dead. He's very much alive. And Jesus is coming again. So when we fast, we are not mourning like the Pharisees. We can fast in anticipation that Jesus is coming. John Piper said, "When we fast, we are putting our stomach where our heart is, to give added intensity and expressiveness to our ache for Jesus. We're saying, 'Come, Lord Jesus, come.'" And my friend, Jesus is coming soon. While Jesus was here, he did some amazing miracles. And we still want to see his power at work, don't we? We still want to see people saved, don't we? We still want to see people healed. We still want to see families reunited. We still want our friends and relatives delivered by the power of God. And when we fast, I have this in your notes, when we fast, we are also expressing our longing and desire to see the demonstration of his power in our present reality. And that's one of the reasons we are fasting in this church today. We're fasting because we want to see the demonstration of God's power in our reality. Amen. Do you want a deeper relationship with God? Do you want to experience more of the power of his Spirit in your life? My friend, it can happen today because it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision of the will. It starts with a decision, a desire. God, I want more of you. And God, I want to draw close to you. Perhaps you might not even be saved. It starts with your opening your heart to Jesus. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now." My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.